Okay, the Gemara says Amar Mar Bisar. So this is the fourth line. So the pasuk says, right, Yimo Bisar Laso. Af Vishay Sham Baharis Yimo Di Rabbi Yosha. Yosha says that even if you have tzaras, you still have to do mila if you have tzaras in the makom hamila, in the place of the mila, you still do bris mila. The Gemara says, "Ha lama li kra davar shein miskavenu." Why do you need a pasuk? Isn't cutting off the tzaras a davar shein miskaven? And we know davar shein miskaven is permitted. So what's the problem? Amar Abaye says, "Lo nitzchay ela le Rabbi Yehuda damar davar shein miskaven aser." No, so we're saying that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says davar shein miskaven aser, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if you do something unintentionally, the classic debate of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is on Shabbos. And what's interesting here is they're applying this debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon not just on Shabbos, but even not on Shabbos. In other words, if you do an act and your intent is to do act A, but unintentionally you do an iser. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's permitted. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's forbidden. So we're saying even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who normally says davar shein miskaven is forbidden, because of the pasuk of bisar, then you are allowed to do mila even if you cut off the tzaras. Rabbi Amar filotema Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi says even if you say the Rabbi Yoshia falls Rabbi Shimon, mod Rabbi Shimon psikresh lo yamus. Right? Rabbi Shimon agrees in the case of psikresh, when they cut off the head of a chicken, won't it die? Meaning what? Even Rabbi Shimon, who says davar sheinu miskaven is permitted, is mutter, that only applies when it's not an inevitable consequence. When it's an inevitable consequence, like you want to play with the head of the chicken, and the way you only do it is by cutting off the head, by killing the chicken, you're obviously killing it. Rabbi Shimon would agree that is forbidden. Similarly here, when you do the mila and you're cutting off the baharas, you're cutting off the tzaras, so then the case is that where you would think that it's permitted in that case, here Rav Shimon would say it's forbidden. So we have a pasuk to tell you it's permitted. And the Gemara asks, "Va'baye leis lehai svara." Does Abaye not hold of this svara? Va'baye v'rava damri tarvaye moda Rishim psikresha v'lo yabus. Abaye doesn't know about this halacha psikresha. The Gemara says Abaye and Rava both hold. Rav Shimon says psikresha is forbidden. So basa deshama mi Rava savra. So apparently Abaye didn't realize. I'm not sure what he didn't realize. Maybe he didn't realize. This is my theory. Maybe he didn't realize that it's even forbidden, that maybe psik resha even applies to mila, not just to Shabbos. Maybe. Or maybe he just forgot for a second. I'm not sure. But in any case, we conclude at this point that everyone agrees that you need the pasuk of Bisar also, because even though davar shein miskaven mutter according to Rabbi Shimon, doesn't make a difference. It's psik resha, so therefore you need a pasuk to tell you that it's permitted. Now, ika demasa lahada bai v'rava ahom. So there are those who understand the debate between Abaye and Rava regarding the following topic, not regarding mila with tzaras, but regarding this. He shavet egat tzaras lishvavu v'lasos, lasos ata besiv shal gabe raglu v'mod shal gabe ketefa v'im avra avra. So you're allowed to make let's say you have tzaras in your shoe. You're allowed to, I guess, put a shoe strap. What is sieve? How do you translate sieve? Savach yud beis? Savach yud beis? Anyone? Okay, I don't know. Okay, I think it's like a shoe strap. Howie? How's it translated? No? Okay, I'll continue. So you're allowed to place...
Bast.
What?
Bast. I think it's like a covering or something.
Okay. Bast, okay. So you're allowed to put some kind of shoe covering on your foot, or you're allowed to put a pole on your shoulder, and by doing either of them, what you might end up doing, you might scrape off the nega tzaras. Okay? But you're allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, V'hal lava likra, why need a pasuk to tell you that you're allowed to do this? Davar shein miskaven, who? Davar shein miskaven, mutter. It's a davar shein miskaven, it's permitted. Oh, Amar Abaye lo nitzcha ela Rabbi Yehuda Amar davar shein miskaven aser. So he's saying that we only need this pasuk according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says davar shein miskaven aser. Rava Amar Fil Teva Moda Rabbi Shimon Moda Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha Lo Yabos. The Rava says no. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, he holds Psik Reisha is forbidden. So therefore, we need a pasuk to tell you you can put a pole on your shoulder, even though you will definitely cut off the saras. Okay. So in other words, there are two different versions as to how this conversation Abaye Rava went down. What were they commenting on the fact that Mila overrides saras, so you can put a pole on your shoulder that might cut off the saras? The Gemara says, same question. Did Abaye not hold this svara before? So after he heard from Rava, so then he accepted. Hold on 1 second. Okay. So two versions. So now, as to how they had their discussion. Now, Abaye Aliva with Rabbi Shimon, Hi, Bisar by Avile. So let's see. According to Abaye initially, when he said, Davar Shed Biskavit is Mutter, and therefore Mila logically overrides Saras, so what does he think? The word Bisar, Yimo Bisar or Law, so the word Bisar is extra. What does he do with that word by Avile? Abrav Abrav. So Rabbim says, what are we talking about? Ba'ober lakutz baharta hu biskaver. We're talking about, well, let's say a gadol, let's say someone over bar mitzvah is 13, and he tells someone, I want you, when you cut off my mila, I want you to cut off the foreskin, the orla, I want you to the reason why I want you to cut it off, a mukul mila, is because I want you also, I think it's also, to cut off the tzaraz in order to become tahor. And so the pasuk tells you that this is permitted. So the Gemara says, Tedach gadol, katan mai ika lebebar. So the Gemara asks, if this answer is justifiable as to why it says bisar by a gadol, but why it says, but let's say an orel who's a katan, who's 8 days old, that it also says Basar. So what can you learn from this pasuk? So, right? So the Gemara answers, because you know, he can't ask. Rav Shasha, but over Avia Bela, Kos Baharis, to know who the Kab is Kaveh. So we're talking about a situation where the father of the son, who is warned not to cut off the Negat Saras, right? He said, so when the father of the son says, makes the statement to cut off the Baharis of his son. So there you actually have intent. So how do you know if your intent is also to cut off the Baharis, that it's still permitted because you're doing Mila? Because of the word Bisar. The Gemara asks, Vika Acher Li Aved Acher, if there's another person, let another person do it. Let's say there's another person whose intent is not to cut off the Baharis, but simply do the Mila, let the other person do it. The Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Kol Mokom Shetabotzi Asi Velotase, Ima Tayocha Lekayim Shneem Mutav, Vim Lav Yavo Asi Vitche Lotase, because Reish Lakish says, whenever you have an Asi and you have a Lotase, if you could do both of them, that's great. But if you can't do both of them, so the ase should override the lotase. So the deleika acher. So we're talking about a case where there's no one else. So it's only this one person. In that case, that's why it says bisar or lasso. The word bisar tells you that even in a situation when the person also intends to cut off the baharas, the tsaras, that it's still permitted. Okay, so now we're going to discuss about mila shelo bismana, mila not on the eighth day, it doesn't override the prohibitions of Yom Tov. Amar Mar, Yom Tov ein adoche ela bizmana bilvad. So Yom Tov, it only overrides Mila bizmana, right? What does it say? Bayom hashmini, right? Bayom, that's a dominant view. Bayom means even on Shabbos and certainly even on Yom Tov. But if it's not bizmana, it's not doche Yom Tov. Minan mili, what's my source? Amar chizki, avachein tad vechizki, makra lo sin mene aboker. The Torah says that there is a prohibition of nosar. You can't leave over. When you eat the Korban Pesach meat, you can't have nosar. You can't leave over the Korban Pesach meat. She'ein tabalom ad boker. The Pesach doesn't have to tell you ad boker because it simply said, lo sosir imenu. What's this ad boker? Why does the Pesach say, vanosir imenu? I'm sorry. Let me strike that. The Torah originally said, lo sosir imenu ad boker. Okay, don't leave it until morning. So that's the cutoff point. And then the Torah says, "Vanoser menu ad boker by ishti srofu," and whatever is left over in the morning, in ad haboker, you should burn it. Why is it say ad haboker? It could have just said, "Vanoser menu by ishti srofu mata malomar al ad boker." What is the ad boker? What does additional ad boker teach you? So bar calls of lite lo boker shade at least refa. So the pasuk gives you a second morning to burn the korban pesach. In other words, the words ad haboker deal with the burning of the korban pesach. So it's telling you that since it's Yom Tov, right? Let's say you leave over Korban Pesach meat. It's the 15th day in the morning. You can't burn the Korban Pesach, right? You can't burn the Korban Pesach because it's Yom Tov. So what do we see from here? And therefore, we say what? When you burn it the next morning, on the 16th, the first day of Chol HaMoed. What do we see from here? We see from here that Yom Tov you can't burn, but you have to wait until the next day. So here's the logic here. The logic here is like this. The time of Korban Pesach is actually Erev Yom Tov. Again, you can debate that point, because the time of eating it is the night of Yom Tov. But he says the time of the Korban Pesach is Erev Yom Tov, so it's Shelo Bismano, so therefore the burning of the Nosar doesn't override Yom Tov. So therefore, Mila, it's not bismano. Let's say it was also during the week, just like Korban Pesach during the week, and let's say you don't finish it, so therefore it's not docha Yom Tov. You don't burn on Yom Tov. So too, mila that the zman is during the week, and you didn't get circumcised in the right time, and now you want to circumcise on Yom Tov. So mila doesn't override Yom Tov. That's the logic. Okay. So Abaye says Amar Kra. Pasuk says, we have another limud that says that it doesn't override Yom Tov. Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, v'lo olas chol b'Shabbos, v'lo olas chol b'Yom Tov. The Pasuk says in Parshas Pinchas that the Korban Ola of Shabbos is to be brought on Shabbos. But the Ola of Shabbos is not, the limbs of the Ola of the week are not brought on Shabbos. Because what that means is, if you bring, let's say you bring the, right, there are two daily korbanos ola, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Let's say you bring the ola in the afternoon, and let's say the limbs aren't burnt yet. You're not allowed to burn them, continue burning them on Shabbos. And similarly, you can't burn, let's say, and you also can't burn it on Yom Tov as well. So if the ola cannot be burnt on Yom Tov, so certainly the mila can't be done on Yom Tov. Okay, so Rava says, Amar Kra, we got another source. The pasuk says, right, it says, Hu levado yaseh lechem. We're talking about the allowance of ochel nefesh. Ashe yechel lechel nefesh, Hu levado yaseh lechem. The words Hu levado are extra. So it should have said, Ashe yechel lechel nefesh yaseh lechem. And we should learn from the word Hu, that specifically ochel nefesh is permitted to do on Yom Tov, v'lo bachshiri, and bachshiri ochel nefesh are not allowed to be done on Yom Tov. For example, making a spit, a knife, and ovens. And from the word levado, what do we learn? That specifically ochel nefesh overrides Yom Tov, v'lo mina shelo bismano, and mila, not in its right time, does not override Yom Tov. The Asya Mikava Chomer, because the fact that Mila that overrides Yom Tov, you can learn from a Kava Chomer from Tzaras, just like Tzaras overrides Avodah, right? Because you can't if you have Tzaras, you can't cut off Tzaras and don't do the Avodah, and Mila Shelo Bismana overrides Tzaras, so therefore Yom Tov. Right. In other words, So then we say what we said before, that Avoda wins out over Yom Tov. Right. So Avoda wins out over Yom Tov, Avoda wins out over Yom Tov, and then we says, Avoda wins out over Yom Tov. Tzaras wins out over Avoda. Mila wins out over Tzaras. So therefore, Mila should win out over Yom Tov. And that's why you need a Pasuk to tell you, that's why the Pasuk tell you that Levado tells you that Mila does not, Mila Shalobisma does not override Yom Tov, because from a series of Kavachomers, A is greater than B, B is greater than C, C is greater than D, and therefore A is greater than D. So therefore you would think that Mila Shlobismana, it overrides Yom Tov, so the Pasuk tells you not that way. Okay. Ravashi says, Shabbatot. Ravashi says that it says in the Pasuk when it comes to Yom Tov, it should be for you as a Shabbatot. And it's a mitzvah asehu, it's mitzvah asehu. Vahavale Yom Tov asay, and Yom Tov is an asay, velo tasay, ve'ein asay docha lo tasay ve'asay. And the asay of Mila Shalobismana does not override the lo tasay, the asay of Yom Tov. Okay. So, Klal Amar, so now we're continuing we're going back to the Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. So there's a major rule that Rabbi Akiva said, that any malacha that you could do at Erev Shabbos does not override Shabbos, right? Anything that's efshar, that's possible from Erev Shabbos, does not override Shabbos. Om Rabbi Yehuda Barav, halacha to Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, utrad dabi, and we also learned in Mishnah, gabe pesach ki hai gavda. We also learned this by Korba Pesach. Klal Om Rabbi Akiva, kol malacha she'efshar lasos me Erev Shabbos, Eino docha es Shabbos, shchita she'efshar lasos me'erev Shabbos docha es Shabbos. That anything, let's say Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So anything that you can do before Shabbos, you have to do it before Shabbos. You can't do it on Shabbos, like bringing the korban outside the tchum. However, or if that's it, let's say there's a mum in the behema, there's a blemish, and you have to remove the blemish. So that you can't do on Shabbos. But anything like Shechita, obviously Shechita you can only do on the 14th of Nisan, that would override Shabbos. But Rabbi Yehuda Barav, halacha Rabbi Akiva, halacha like Rabbi Akiva, utzricha. And Rabbi Yehuda needs to tell us halacha like Rabbi Akiva, both in the instance of Machshirei Mila b'Shabbos and also Machshirei Korban Pesach on Shabbos. In other words, we need to say that we hold like Rabbi Akiva that Machshirei Mila do not override Shabbos and Machshirei Pesach do not override Shabbos. Diash be'inan gabe mila hasam hu de machshirin efshar lasos me'as malo dachu Shabbos de leka kares. So yeah, I would understand that while we pass like Rabbi Akiva that machshirei mila doesn't override Shabbos. Why? Because let's say you don't do it on Shabbos, you do it on Sunday. The child does not get kares. You only potentially get kares, I know, when you're older. Definitely not before bar mitzvah, maybe even after 20. But certainly, there's no kares. A child is not a bar onshin. So there's no kares if you wait till Sunday to do the bris milah. So maybe only in that case we say wait till Sunday. I will pass out the ikka kares, ema litri Shabbos. But maybe korban pesach, where if you don't do the korban pesach, the punishment is kares, I might say. So if you forgot to, do it before Shabbos, right? You can do Machshir Korban Pesach even on Shabbos. V'yesh v'inan gabe Pesach. And if I would have said the lachas like Rabbi Akiva by Pesach, Machshir Pesach, Mishum, yeah, that's, of course it's Docha. Of course, it's not Docha Shabbos. Why? Delo nichrus yoleh sholoshes rei brisos. It's an important mitzvah, but you don't say the word, you didn't say the word bris, covenant between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klai, or whatever, a Kadosh Baruch Hu and Avra. Didn't say the word bris 13 times in the context of Korban Pesach. Avol mila dinichsu Allah shlosh shrei brisos. It says in the context of when Hashem commands Avram to form a bris mila, it says the word bris 13 times. Ema litchi Shabbos. And I would say maybe machshir mila does override Shabbos, so tzricha, therefore you need both things to teach us. Lachas like Rabbi Akiva, that it's not docha Shabbos. Next Mishnah says the following. Osin called tzarchei mila b'Shabbos. So we do all of the needs of bris mila on Shabbos. Molim uporin u'motzitzin v'nosim aleha isplanis v'chamon. So we cut off the orla. And we cut off the skin that's under the orla and we uncover the organ. And we suck the blood. And we put a bandage and chamon, I think, is some kind of spices. We grind some spices in order to, stop the blood from coming out. Ve'im lo shachak me'erev Shabbos. And if you didn't grind these spices from Erev Shabbos, then lois b'shin avinosim. You chew it. You grind it by chewing with your teeth and you put it on the wound, because then you are doing it in an unusual way, assuming it's hygienic to do so. Im lo taraf yayin b'shem me'erev Shabbos. If you do not mix wine and oil from Erev Shabbos in order to place the mixture on the wound to heal it, then yinasin zebatzmos zebatzmos, and you pour each one, the wine and the oil, on the wound individually. Ve'ein osin lo chaluk, and we don't make this kind of pouch that we put on the organ, so that apparently so that the skin doesn't come back and cover the foreskin doesn't come back and cover the organ lechatchila on Shabbos. Aval korech ales martut, but you can wrap around it some kind of some kind of shmata, right? How they translate?
Right.
Shmata. That's how they translate art school, shmata? S-H-A.
No, cloth.
Cloth, okay.
But,
cloth, okay.
But that's what it means.
Okay, right. So you wrap around in a cloth, im lo hiskin me'erev Shabbos, if you didn't prepare the cloth in me'erev Shabbos, and it's in another reshus, so korech al etzba'o mevi vafil mechater acher. So what do? You wrap it around your finger, so you carry it from a different reshus. So you're carrying it in an unusual manner. So what are we saying? That the mitzvah mila overrides Shabbos, and again, these are, and, right? So, but you want to knock it down to a drabanan. So you can do all these things, but try to knock it down to a drabanan, try to do these things in an unusual manner. What's interesting is, again, I would say, it would seem to me that these things are actually, it's the needs for the mila here are for pikuach nefesh after the fact. In other words, as we said, don't do bris milah if you can't bring the knife from outside of Shus around. We pasuk it against Rabbi Eliezer. So, but if you can do the milah and then it's only a dangerous situation, so then you can violate Shabbos. You know, that's what it seems to me. In other words, you can't violate Shabbos in order to do machshirei milah. But once you do milah, but if you could do the milah itself, then that overrides Shabbos. And what's that override Shabbos? You could do these things, which are Shabbos violations, because if you don't do it, it's a danger. Then it's a pikuach nefesh situation. There's, by doing mila, you're putting the child in a pikuach nefesh situation if you don't do these things. So then you can violate Shabbos to do these things, but do it in an unusual manner. Just pointing that out. Michti, katani kuho. So let's see. The Mishnah talks about all the needs of the mila. It says kol tzarchei mila lasibai. So then, why the additional language kol tzarchei mila? What does that add? Introduction. What does that add? Lasui hod tader baran hamol kol zbashu osik b'mila choser bein al atitze ba'akvias b'mila bein al atitze she'ed ba'akvias b'mila. The rabbis teach us that if you do bris mila while you're involved in the bris mila, then you're allowed to cut off the ends of this, the remaining strips of skin, of foreskin. Whether we're talking about the skin that doesn't prevent the mila from taking place, or whether it does take place. I guess, I don't know if we've determined yet which are tzitzin hama'akvin, which tzitzin are not ma'akvin, but apparently some of the foreskin you have to remove if you don't. I don't know if it's rov. I'm not sure if it's a majority. I'm not sure. But you have to remove, there is some foreskin that if you don't remove it, then definitely you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. And there's other foreskin that if you don't remove it, you don't cut it off, then you still have fulfilled the mitzvah. And what we're saying here is that you even cut on Shabbos the strips of skin that are unnecessary to prevent the mitzvah from taking place. Does that make sense? You got it? Okay. But then the Brisa continues, it says, Peirash al tzitzin hama'akvin, Peirash al tzitzin ma'akvin samila chozer, al tzitzin ein ma'akvin samila ein chozer. Let's say that you removed your head. You finished the process of cutting, and then you say, I have to finish cutting. At that point, once you've sort of removed your hand, and now you want to go again and try to cut off the additional skin, so then you're only allowed to remove the tzitzin that's ma'akvin and not the tzitzin that's not, there's only the tzitzin that you're only allowed to continue cutting that which would prevent the mila from being kosher, but not that which. But let's say you cut off, and you cut off enough foreskin that makes the mila kosher. And then there are some strips of skin that do not prevent the mila from being kosher, and then you're not allowed to go back and cut off those strips on Shabbos. Okay, so now what the Gemara is going to try to do is they're going to ask, who's the author of this statement? They try to say from other cases of someone who similarly holds like this, that who's the author. So Ma'an Tana, who's the author of the Braisa who holds that Peirash Eino Chozer, that if you remove your hand from the Mila, you don't have to continue cutting. So Rabbi Yochanan says that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Broka, the Talia Kuzulu de Braisa, Arba Osar Shecholios B'Shabbos Bavshid Esa Pesach. If the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, so we remove the skin of the Korban Pesach, Ad Hechaza, we remove it until the breast area. Okay? And then, what do you do once you remove the skin? So now, then, what can you do? You can take all the insides. You can rip out all the insides of the limbs, and you can burn them, right? And then you take out the limbs, you burn them, and then you don't have to. You don't continue flaying the skin. Motzei Shabbos, which is the night of Pesach, then you continue flaying the rest of the skin. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel beno Shav Yochum ben Broka. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel beno Shav Yochum ben Broka. V'chamim omrim mafshin l'skulam. No, Rabbi, the Chamim say once you started, then you continue. What's the reason of Rabbi Shmuel? The reason is that once you finish doing that which is, you remove the skin that was necessary, you're done. And there's no heter to continue, there's no allowance to continue to flay the rest of the skin. Because this is something that you could do on Motzei Shabbos. So presumably, he is the one who would make the same comment by Mila. That if you started the Mila, and then you stopped, and all you have left is the tzitzin she'ein ba'akvim, the strips of skin that don't prevent the Mila from being valid, so then you cannot continue it on Shabbos. So Gemara says, not necessarily, mimai. How do you know definitely that he would be the author? He's saying when it comes to the Korban Pesach, after you remove the limbs, right, and you're burning them on the Mizbeach, there is no flaying the rest of the skin involves no more of, there's no hider mitzvah in beautifying the meat. There's no zek kelim v'yam vehu aspect of the Korban Pesach. Aval halcha d'ba'inan, zek kelim v'yam vehu. But in the midst of Mila, where you want to cut off all of the strips of skin, so it's a beautiful, get rid of all the foreskin. Ah, that's a beautiful Mila. Obviously no one's looking, but I don't know. That's like a beautiful Mila. So he says that that's a zek kelim v'yam vehu. Hachanami. So then I might argue that what? That continuing to cut the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, to cut the strips of skin, even on Shabbos is permitted because that's the continuation of the initial mitzvah. In other words, there are two parts of the mitzvah mila. One is actually fulfilling the mitzvah, and second, making it zek kelim v'anvehu. And we're saying the zek kelim v'anvehu constitutes a continuation of the first action, and therefore it would justify you to finish the mitzvah even on Shabbos. And now the Tanya Kulur de Brisa, Zek Kelim Yamvehu. There are two different explanations that the Gemara is going to bring here of what the pasuk of Zek Kelim, this is my God, Ve'anvehu. What does that mean, Ve'anvehu? So one explanation is, you smell the fun of the mitzvahs, that I will make beautiful in front of him the mitzvahs. I'll make the mitzvahs that he commanded us beautiful. Zek Kelim, this is my God. I don't just want to do the mitzvah, I want to do it in a beautiful way. Right, I want to make a beautiful sukkah, beautiful little, beautiful shofar, beautiful tzitzis, a beautiful sefer Torah. And I'm going to write it the shem mitzvahs sefer Torah with a beautiful ik, with a beautiful quill, belavlar uba, with a top scribe, bishira and I will wrap it around with, I go, it's a beautiful silk, right? Shirat, I think, is silk. Avashol Ober Ve'advehu. Here's a different explanation of Ve'advehu. Another beautiful explanation. It says, Heve Domalo, Mahu Chad Racham, Vatarach, Heye Chad Racham. What's Ve'advehu? Vadihu. This is my God? Vadihu. I want to be like him. All right, imitatio Dei, as Rav Soloveitchik would say. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful and kind, so I should imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful ways. Okay, in any case, so what we did was, with this beautiful brisa, we have rejected the definite proof that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yishmael Beno Shav Yochan Ben Broka. So now, we're going to try to find a different author, maybe. Amar Elamar Vashi, Hamani of Yossi. Ah, who's the author of Yossi? Did not. So let's say you're living outside the Tchum. You're living outside the city boundaries of Yerushalayim. And you see the sliver of the new moon at night. So there's a mitzvah of what? You have to go to Beis Din to tell them that I saw a sliver of the new moon, so that they can declare the next day that it's Rosh Chodesh and that the previous month was only 29 days. So you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for that. And the Chachamim say you could be Mechal Shabbos even if it's clear or not clear. In other words, what's he saying here? The Chachamim are saying that, let's say it's so clear and you know that even in Yerushalayim people can see it. So why should you go? Why should you travel and violate Shabbos in order to testify about the new moon? Let the people in Yerushalayim go. So if it's not so clear, it's cloudy or whatever, but you saw a sliver of the moon, so then you might be the only person who saw it. So therefore, you should go. But if it's clear, then maybe you say you shouldn't go. Come and say, no, you go in any case, whether it's clear or not clear. If Yossi says no, that if it's very clear, then you know that Beis Din probably saw it, people in Yerushalayim probably saw it, and therefore you shouldn't violate the Shabbos. So what do we see according to Rabbi Yossi? We see that even though there's a mitzvah to Mechal Shabbos, to testify about the new moon, nevertheless, you're not Mechal Shabbos when there's no need. So therefore, by Mila also, you are Mechal Shabbos when there's a need, i.e. the Tzitzin HaMe'akvin, but if there's no need, then you would not violate Shabbos. The Gemara now is going to reject that as well. Me and my, how do you know that Rabbi Yossi would agree to this? Dilmat kalo kamar Rabbi Yossi hasab dilo nitna Shabbos litchos. It's different. When it comes to Shabbos, then when the moon is seen clearly, there's no heter to violate Shabbos at all. So that's different. There's no need at all for you to be Mechal. In other words, the mitzvah of Eidus HaChodesh is completely unnecessary when the moon can be seen clearly. So then they're going to stand Rabbi Yosef and say, don't do it. But when it comes to Bris Milah, the Torah already says that you could do Bris Milah on Shabbos. So maybe then you can also finish it. In a situation like Eidus HaChodesh. So they're telling you, you can never do it when it's clear. But here, we're allowing you to do Bris Milah to begin with, so maybe you're also allowed to finish it. So it's no proof that Rabbi Yossi would follow this position. Okay, we're going to try again. So, Ella Amri Nardai, the scholars in Nardai said, Rabbanan de Pligya Leid Rabbi Yossi. It's the Rabbanan who argued Rabbi Yossi, not in the previous Mishnah, but in another Mishnah. Did not. So now we're going to talk about Lechem HaPodim. Arba korim nichnasim shnai biyadav shnei starim u'shnai biyadav shnei bazichim. So you have four kohanim enter into the mikdash. Two of them have, I guess, two rows of arrangements of lechem hapadim, and two of them have two spoonfuls of frankincense. V'arba makdimin lifneim, and there are four kohanim who came before them. Shnaim lito shnei sedarim u'shnaim lito shnei bazichim. So you have got four Kohanim who go into the Mikdash first. Their job is going to take out the old bread, right? They replace the bread and the frankincense. They replace Lechem HaPanim and Levona every Shabbos. So you have two Kohanim taking out the two arrangements of Lechem HaPanim and two Kohanim taking out the two spoons of frankincense. And you have another four Kohanim who are bringing in the new bread, the new frankincense. Habachdisim omdim batzafon ufrem ladaro. Those who bring in the new bread, they are standing on the northern part of the shulchan. That's more chashuv, and they're facing south. Vamotzim omdim batzafon ufrem ladaro. And those who are taking out the old bread, the old frankincense, are standing on the southern side of the table, the shulchan, and they're facing north. Elu moshchim ve'elu manichim. Tifchol shel zeh v'sad tifchol shel zeh. So what happens is, so the people take out the bread, they remove it, one tefach, one hand breath, and then the new week, you know, the group for the new week, they put it in one tefach. And they take out another tefach, and they put another tefach. Okay? So that, why? Mishum shenamar, what does this pasuk say? V'nasatal shulchan lechem panai, lechem panim lefanai tamid. That the lechem aparim has to be tamid, constantly on the table. So when you move out one tefach, and the new one goes in the tefach. So there's always bread on the shulchan. Rav Yosi says, nah, don't read it so literally. Afilo elu notlin, elu manichim avzeh yatamid. If you wait for the first group to remove the bread, the lechem aparim from the previous week, and then they put in the new bread a few seconds later, that's still called tamid. That's not a violation of tamid. So therefore, so what do we see from here? So therefore, according to the chachamim, what do we see? That if there was an interruption between removing the old bread and putting in the new bread, you would not fulfill the mitzvah of tamid. So similarly, if you remove your hand from the milah, if you don't, you stop doing the milah, you stop the cutting, then continuing is considered a new action. That's the argument that they're making. Okay? That's the argument they're making. So they're saying the author would be the chachamim in this case. So the Gemara now is discussing regarding cutting the tzitzit, the strips of skin, a foreskin on Shabbos. Tanur Baran. Behalkatid es habila. You cut the remainder of the foreskin on Shabbos, referring to that which prevents the mila from being kosher. Biblo hilkate. And if you don't do it, adush karis. The punishment is karis. Mai. So who gets karis here? So you get karis. Who gets karis? Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Uban. The Mohel is punished with kares because he violated Shabbos when he makes the wound, not in the Bako Mitzvah's Mila. Baski Flo Rapapa. Rapapa asks, challenges. Uban Lema Lahu Ana Avde Palga de Mitzvah. Let the Mohel say, I am doing the first half of the Mitzvah. Atin Avdisu Palga de Mitzvah. Why can't the Mohel say that, listen, I did part of the mitzvah, and therefore you finish the mitzvah. Notice why do we say if the mohel only does half the job that he gets kares for making a wound on Shabbos? Because remember, if you don't do mila and you just make a wound in that aver, so then what are you doing? You're violating Shabbos. The only way that you can avoid the punishment of kares for doing the malacha of making a wound on Shabbos if you actually perform the mitzvah. But why can't the mohel say, I'm doing half the mitzvah, and someone else finished half the mitzvah? So, Elo Amar Rapapa Gadol. So he's saying, yeah, we're not referring to the mohel who gets kares. We're referring to an individual who, let's say a gadol, someone who's over 13, who circumcises himself. Again, I wouldn't try it at home. But let's say a gadol who circumcises himself. And he doesn't do the tzitzin, the strips of skin that prevent the mitzvah mila to be complete. So then he still would get kares. So you know you have to even cut the strips. You know the strips that were ma'aki of the mila. So masor vashe behedik sibe varel zachar shelo. That's obvious. The pasuk says explicitly, if you don't do the mila, then you get kares. Like what's the chiddush? What's he telling you that? So elamar vashi laolam uma. Really talking about the mohel. And va'amar lahu misap kina va'amar velo istapek. V'ishtakach the chabur hu the avad v'adush kari. So what happens? It's beit hashmashos. I think we're assuming here that, like nowadays, we have a long beit hashmashos. There are different opinions as to what beit hashmashos is. But let's say it's right before the end of Shabbos. And he says, oh, I'm going to do a milah now, and I will be able to finish the entire milah in, you know, but before the end of Shabbos. Right? And it takes a few seconds nowadays, right? It takes a minute or so, whatever it is. So we're talking about a very extreme case, a very unusual case, where he does the milah right before the end of Shabbos, and he thinks he's going to have enough time, and then for whatever reason, he does not have enough time, and he doesn't finish the milah by the end of Shabbos. So then what emerges is what? Then you didn't do the mitzvah milah, and said you simply made a wound, and so you've done a chabura, and therefore the punishment is kares. Okay, next. The Mishnah says motzitzin. We suck the blood from the mila area. Amar Papa, right? If when you discuss the questions of mitzitzah bepeh, so this is the Mishnah that this is what we're talking about here. So they felt the days of the Gemara that it was a danger for if you didn't suck the blood, from the mila. So Amar Papa says, "Hai umna the lo mayitz sakanahu vavrina lei." So a moel who doesn't suck the place of the mila, so that's a danger to the child, and we remove him from his job that he should not get mila again, that he should not do mila again. Pshita, is that obvious? Midikah machale aleh deshabsa. Since the Mishnah says that you're machale Shabbos through mitzitza, that you suck the blood, that's and you're machale Shabbos, so obviously what? It's a sakana. Why are you doing it? It's not simply a mitzvah, it's a sakana, it's a danger. Sakanahu. So if it's sakana and the mohel doesn't do it, obviously we have to remove him. Maudatema haida mifkat pakid. So maybe, so he says maybe not. Maybe the reason why you're allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos is somehow because the blood is collected, and when you do mitzitza, you don't make a wound. In other words, maybe somehow you might think that the blood that goes out with mitzitza is not absorbed in the flesh, and therefore you're not making a wound, and therefore that's why you can do it on Shabbos. Kamash v'lan chabur michaber. So therefore, Rav Papa is telling you that no, it's not true. When you do mitzitza, you indeed are making a wound. You are doing a chabura, and therefore, and nevertheless, it's permitted on Shabbos, and therefore it's sakana, and therefore that you would remove the and then v'duma the ispilatis v'chamun, and therefore it's similar to. It's similar to the requirement to put a bandage or this kind of spices on the aver on the organ even on Shabbos, even though it's a violation of Shabbos because it overrides Shabbos. Ma isplanis v'chamun kilo avid sakanahu, just like the bandage and the spices, if you don't put it on the wound, it's a danger. Afachanami here also matzitza kilo avid sakanahu, it's also a danger. And there's a whole discussion that we showed him, whether it's sakana nowadays. If the Mishnah says that something is sakana back then, is that immutable, or is it, or maybe nowadays it's not a sakana? All right, I think I gave a share of this once. Okay, vidosi maleha isplodis. So then you put a bandage on the makom mila, on the place of the mila. Amar Abai says we're going to do some Talmudic medicine now. Amra Li'eh, my mother told me, right? Abai's mother always gives good medical advice. At least back in the day, she was always concerned about it. So she said, Isplanisa de chulo kive. So this bandage that helps for all wounds, what is it? Shav. It wasn't just a band-aid, it was also like some cream or some whatever, some medicine. So what was it made of? Shav minai tarba, 7 portions of fat. V'chad the kira, 1 portion of wax. Rav Amar, kira v'kalba. Rav says, the bandage, you know what helps? It has to have wax, and also, I don't know what this is, some kind of sap. Some white sap of wood.
Resin.
Resin. Okay, resin. Thank you. Drasha, Rava b'machosa. So Rava, and when Rava gave this drasha about this medicine, karinu b'nei minyome ased l'manayu. So the children of Minyome, the doctor, ripped their garments because Rava revealed the secret of this medicine. They had the monopoly on the medicine. Amar Lahu, Rava said to them, Shavki Lahu Chada, I left you one medicine that nobody else knows. except for everyone who learns the Gemara. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says, Hai man de mashi ape below nagiv tuva. Anyone who washes his face and he doesn't dry it well, nikterule chas benisa, the skin of his face is covered in boils. Maitakante, how do you fix that? Limshe tuva b'maya de silka. Wash your face a lot in water that was cooked in beets. And on that beautiful note,